Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy 1, verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. I want us to look for a minute at the subject of prayer. I hope that me included, I hope that we really learn something this morning about prayer. I hope this will be instructive. I hope this will be helpful. Prayer is something that we all know we are insufficient in it. We all know that we are insufficient in prayer. We do not pray often enough, and we do not pray sincerely enough. No matter how often we pray, and no matter how sincere we think we are in it, we know that it's not often enough. And we know that it's not sincere enough. And therefore, it's something that God's people desire to grow in. Don't you desire to grow in true prayer? We know that our God is sovereign. Our God is sovereign. We know that He knew everything He was going to do before the foundation of the world. Known to God were all His works from the beginning of the world. We know that all of His ways and all of His works are set in stone. He is the Lord. He does not change. I heard a man say one time, well, God changes all the time. No, He doesn't. He is the Lord. He does not change. Therefore, we know that we cannot influence Him or change His mind. Cannot be done. But we also know that prayer to Him is a vital, critical component of our union with Him. From the record of the Word, we can clearly see that prayer was a vital, critical component of our Lord Jesus Christ's relationship to His Father. He was in constant communion with His Father. And if our Lord prayed continually, how much more should we pray? If He prayed, if that was a critical practice for Him, a constant practice for Him, how much more should it be for us? God's Word commands us to pray without ceasing. You read that and you think, what does that mean? Here's what it means. Pray without ceasing. Turn with me over to Luke 18. Luke 18, verse 1. And He, our Lord, spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who said, men ought always to pray, men and women, ought always to pray and not faint. You know, people will say things like, prayer works. You ever heard somebody say that? Prayer works. Or they call themselves prayer warriors. That's a bunch of hogwash. That's all that is. That is flat hogwash. We don't pray to accomplish a work. We don't pray to win a victory. We pray to acknowledge God's hand in the matter. That's what we're doing. We are acknowledging our God's hand in the matter. We do ask for things, and we're going to look at that. But we only ask according to the eternal will and purpose of our God. But our Lord prayed, and He commanded us to pray. And because of that, the apostles very wisely asked the Lord to teach them to pray. Go with me over to Luke 11. This is a very wise thing to ask for. I pray that we will ask for this. I pray He'll do for us what He did for the apostles. Luke 11, verse 1. And it came to pass that as He was praying, our Lord was praying, and I can't help but just envision this scenario. Our Lord is praying here, and the disciples were there listening to Him pray. You talk about a blessed moment in time. A lot of times our Lord went apart to pray alone. But here they are listening to our Lord pray. I can envision them having their heads bowed, just listening intently to His words, to His Father. And when He finished praying, they realized that they needed to learn more and know more of this communication to God. So they wisely asked the Lord to teach them. Verse 1, it came to pass that as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, one of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. I was talking to a fellow pastor about this, and he pointed out something to me that when he said this, I thought, wow, that's amazing. This affected me. This affected me greatly. I believe this caused me to realize the importance of prayer like I've never realized it before. He pointed out that the apostles did not ask, Lord, teach us to preach. Does that hit you like it hits me? They got to the critical heart of the matter. And I'm going to tell you this. The foundation of preaching is praying. It is. The core of true preaching is praying. Study is all about praying. Asking the Lord to send a message. The car ride over here is all about praying. Asking God, please meet with us. Please bless us. Please get me out of the way. And would You speak to the hearts of Your people? I don't know if it's good to tell you this or not, but quite often when we have a long turn, if I say, you know, turn over to Zephaniah and it takes you a minute, that's time for me to pray. Sometimes I stand right here and pray. Pray as you listen. Pray. They didn't ask, Lord, teach us to preach or teach us to witness or teach us to do anything. They said, teach us to pray. And what this tells us is we're so dependent on God for everything, so dependent on His Spirit for everything. But anyway, verse 1, it came to pass that as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, one of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And He said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. He said, you start by acknowledging your God. Acknowledge His holiness. Acknowledge His sovereignty. Verse 3, He said, give us day by day our daily bread. He said, ask for this. Acknowledge that it is in God's hands to give it. Every good and perfect gift comes from Him. Everything. Lord, all of our needs, would you graciously give them to us? All of our needs, would you graciously supply them to us? In Ezekiel 36, the Lord said, I am going to do these things for my people. I'm going to do it for them. But He said, I will be inquired of them to do it. They are going to ask, they're going to say, please. They're going to ask me to do it. Would you please do this for us? Verse 4, He said, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord, in mercy, the mercy of your blood, forgive our sins. Forgive us, verse 4, forgive us our sins. Give us, forgive us. In verse 4, He went on to say, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. He said, ask for grace, mercy, and peace. A week or so ago, we had a message titled, Grace, Mercy, and Peace. Give us grace. Forgive us mercy. Lead us peace, not into temptation. Lead us into peace. Verse 5, and He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. He said, the Lord is telling them to pray without ceasing. He said, this is what I'm telling you. Pray without ceasing. He said, this friend was heard and answered not because he was a friend, but because he wouldn't go away. It was because he prayed without ceasing. He just kept crying and he wouldn't stop. Would you please help me? And his buddy finally got up and said, here. Our Lord is saying, pray without ceasing. Importunate prayer. Verse 9. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Now, clearly from this, we see the importance of prayer. We have just witnessed the importance of prayer. We see the command to pray. We see the importance of continual prayer. And we see the promise of the Lord in hearing and answering our prayer. Verse 9 again, he said, I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son asks bread of any of you that's a father, will he give him a stone? If he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If he asks an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? He said, shall. Ask and it shall. Now, if that's what the word of the Lord Jesus Christ says, if that's what God says, why is it that we oftentimes feel like we ask him for things and we don't get them? Anybody ever been there? You ever feel like you ask for things over and over again and you just don't get them? Why is it that we ask him to heal us and sometimes he doesn't heal us? Why is it that there are times that we feel like we're pouring out our hearts to him, but he doesn't hear us? He's not listening to our cry? Is that the case? Is there ever a time that the Lord God does not listen to his children? Is there ever a time where he turns his ear from his children? According to his word, never. Never. He said in Isaiah 65, before they ever even call, I'll answer. Is anything too small or too large to take to the Lord? Well, he's not going to answer that because that's just too small for him to fool with. No. Or that's too large. Now you're just asking too much. No. Peter said, cast all your care on him. He careth for you. But this is what we need to understand about our request to him. I believe this is so enlightening. I believe this is so important. I believe this is instructive. I believe it's helpful. This is what we need to understand about our prayer to him and our request to him. Turn with me over to Matthew 7. This is Matthew's account of what we just read in Luke 11. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him. Good things. Here's what we must understand. Our Father only gives his children good things. Only good things. The same as us. If we have a proper desire, we only desire to give our children what's good for them. Only if it's good for them. Not everything they ask for. Has any parent here ever given their child literally everything they've ever asked for? I think I'm pretty safe in saying no. Just go to Kroger or Walmart and, you know, aisle by aisle, get ready. You're going to ask for everything on every aisle. Only what's good for them. Only what's good for them. And that's what he's saying right here in verse 11. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? If he does not give us healing, it's not because he doesn't hear us. It's because he didn't deem it good for us. Turn over to Psalm 84 with me. Psalm 84, verse 11 says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." No good thing. Evil things, yes, he will withhold them from his children. But not good things. You mean me being healed would be an evil thing? If it goes against his sovereign, eternal will and purpose concerning you? Yes. Yes, it would be. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, not mine, but yours. If we pray to him asking for his will to be done, we do ask for things. He did say, "Let your petitions be made known." But it's only in light of thy will be done. And if that is the reigning desire in us, rest assured, we are going to have our desire. We will have it. If it's that his will be done, even above what we ask, then we will have our desire. Turn with me to 1 John 5. First John 5, verse 14. "This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." We know that. If our desire is for his, if we're asking it in his will, "Lord, only if it's not your will, shut the door. Don't let me walk through that door." If we desire for his will to be done, even above our request to him, we know that we're going to have our desire. And that's what God's people want. They do want his will to be done. They really do. His will is going to be done. And that's the will of all of God's people. "Thy will be done." The good things of your will. Only the good things of your will. Well, what are some of the things that he has declared to be good? Let me just give you a few of these and we'll be done, okay? Look with me at James 1. James chapter 1. Here are some good things that our Lord said. You ask for these things because these are good things. James 1, verse 5. "If any of you lack wisdom," just in case there's anybody here that lacks wisdom, which I'll just go ahead and tell us, that's every person in the room, starting with me. Y'all, I'm at the top of the list, and then you guys are all beneath me. We need wisdom. That's what we need. We need wisdom. Verse 5, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. We need wisdom. What a thing to pray for continually. Look at 2 Thessalonians 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 1, the Apostle Paul, speaking on behalf of the other apostles and all who preached the word, he said, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you." Pray for those of us who preach. Our Lord is saying in the Word, this is a good thing. This is a good thing to pray for. I sincerely do. I don't pray for you often enough, and I don't pray for you sincerely enough. But I do try to pray for you, and I'm begging you to pray for me. Don't forget to pray for me. As you're driving over here in the car, pray for me. This is not in my hands. This is not by man's might. This is by the Spirit of God. But that's what we need. Pray for me that I will pray for the Spirit. It's just too critical. This is so critical. We need the Spirit of God to preach. We need the Spirit of God to hear. We need to pray for all who preach. We need to pray for all who hear. Pray for each other. Pray for us, the preaching and the hearing of God's word, that it will have free course and be glorified. Free course in saving and blessing God's people. Don't turn, but Psalm 122 says, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem." Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Peace with God, peace with each other. Let's pray for peace with each other. That's a good thing. Job 42 says, "The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends." With Job, it was all about, you know, poor, pitiful me. And the Lord finally showed him, pray for your brethren. 1 Samuel 12 says, "God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." Turn back to Luke 11. Luke 11. Verse 9. Our Lord said, "I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." What is he talking about right there specifically? What is he talking about specifically? Look at verse 13. "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" He said, you ask for the presence of the Holy Spirit and you will receive him. That's a comforting promise to me. What a good and vital, necessary thing. His will, his kingdom, his grace, his mercy, his peace, his salvation, his wisdom. Christ is our wisdom. The preaching, the hearing of the gospel, praying for brethren, the presence of God's Spirit. Lord, help us to pray for all these good things. These are good things. And with all of that being said, for our comfort and our peace, on this issue of our need of praying to the Father, we still know how insufficient we are in it. So for our comfort, let me leave us with this. Go to Romans 8. This This is one of the most comforting things. I love reading this. Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. As important as our great need and responsibility is to pray, in Christ, we have an advocate with the Father taking care of that responsibility for us. Isn't that comforting to you? Our Lord Jesus Christ said in John 17, Father, I pray for them. I pray for them. I pray on behalf of them. I'm coming to you on their behalf. I pray for my people. I pray on behalf of my people. For that, we're thankful. We're so thankful. Lord, help us, teach us what it is to truly